marvelous day that we're celebrating today. And if you have your scriptures and if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, I'd like for you to look at the book of Matthew, and I'm going to need this overhead set back up. The book of Matthew, chapter 27. And I want to read beginning reading at verse 33. And let's pray. Father God, you are such a wonderful Father. And I hope today, Lord, that we're able to project how wonderful you are. Lord Jesus, you paid the ultimate sacrifice, for no greater love does a man have than he lay down his life. And Holy Spirit, we so depend on you and ask you to lead us and fill us and guide us. And I ask that right now. I ask you, Holy Spirit, right now that you'll minister through the teaching. That, Lord, what you showed me this very morning, I'll be able somehow to project it. Now, Lord, I pray that our ears can hear what the Spirit is saying, not what man is saying or what religion is saying or what theology or philosophy is saying, but, Lord, what the Spirit says to the church today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And I'd like for everybody here to say amen. 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 That just means, so be it. Let that happen. Now, Matthew 27, verse 33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. I've already mentioned to you what that is. That was a painkiller. That was a death enhancer. That was to speed up the process. He would not drink it. There was something that he had to suffer. There was something that he had to partake of. There was a cup he had to drink. And then in verse 35 says, and they crucified him. The NIV Bible says, when they had crucified him. And I'd like for you to say that with me. And they crucified him. Would you say that? And they crucified him. One more time. And they crucified him. It really happened. There was a real person, a man named Jesus, who was really crucified on a cross on a hill called Golgotha. It really happened. And then if you'll look at chapter 28 and verse 6, and then you can close your Bible after I've read this one, and everything else will be on the overhead. Chapter 28, verse 6. They come to see Jesus in the tomb. The angel is there, and he says, for he is risen, as he said. He is not here. For he is risen, as he said. And I'd like for you to say that with me. He is risen, as he said. Say that. He is risen, as he said. One more time. He is risen, as he said. Now, what did that prove? And what happened between the time that they crucified him until the time that he is risen, as he said? What took place there? Why in the world would somebody have such a tremendous tragedy to happen to them? Why would they go through this death? Why would they go through this suffering? Why would they put themselves through this beating when they really didn't have to? Why would they put themselves through this toil? Why would they so brutally kill a person? Why would God allow this to happen? Why? What happened there? What is in it for you and for me? What was accomplished in this process? What happened between the time they crucified him and the time that he is risen, as he said? I want you to know something happened 2,000 years ago that you and I are still entering into, that we're still learning how to enter into. I want you to know that your salvation was done 2,000 years ago, and what you did one day was enter into it. And there's some other things that we've got to learn. Just as he paid for that then, he paid for some other things in that time that they crucified him to that time that he is risen, as he said. And I want to talk to you about a few of these things this morning. And I want you to hear some things that I really believe that the Spirit of the Lord is going to revolutionize our church and probably the whole Christian world, because there's going to be a different church in the 21st century than there's been before. There's going to be something that God's going to do. And I believe we're beginning to get a little glimpse of it as the 21st century comes. The old message of sin and hellfire and brimstone ain't going to get it no more. People got to know that God dealt with that 2,000 years ago. And He don't want to talk about it anymore. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if any of you big ones want to get up and run, you go ahead. Where was I? I want you to see something happen. Now, I'm going to give you about four things, and this is what I want to call this. What I really want us to understand, what I really want us to see, is there was a great exchange. Something happened on that cross 2,000 years ago that we are able to enter into, and it's called salvation, and we are able to exchange our old life for a new life. And it's a great exchange. And the first thing that I believe a believer has to come to before they'll ever understand what God has truly done for them is understand that sin was totally and absolutely dealt with, and that your sin, when you come to Jesus Christ, is absolutely done away with. I mean, it is behind you forever. I mean, He didn't only do away with your sin. What He also did away with, was what it was written on. What He also did away with was what accused you of sin. What accused you of sin, anyway? No, the Bible says that the law was written to accuse you. It's the law that accuses us. It's the law that says, thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not. And it accuses you of everything that you've ever done wrong. Am I right? Now look at this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many? All of them. When you come to Jesus Christ, what happens to you is you're forgiven all of them. And He don't want to talk about them anymore. He's thrown them as far as the east is from the west, into the depths of the sea. He's totally washed them away. Now, if you wash something, if you have a spot in a shirt and you wash it and tie, do you keep talking about that spot? No, you're glad it's gone, right? And you don't keep bringing it up. I had a spot right here one time in this shirt. It's washed away. It's gone. And when He did it, it's gone. It's all gone. So understand that everything, you could not do anything that His blood couldn't cleanse. It's better than Tide. It's better than all. It's better than whisk. What are some, better than Clorox. And nothing gets it whiter than Clorox, right? But the blood can. Amen? All of it. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. What was against us? The handwriting, the ordinance. Now, I want you to hear this. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. What did He do with the ordinances? What did He do? The things that were written against us, what did He do with the things that accuse you and accuse me? The law. What did He do with it? He did what? Everybody said He nailed it to the cross. Now say, now what does that mean? He crucified it. I'm telling you, the law is dead and it didn't raise the third day. I'm here to tell you today that the law is done. It's over. He didn't only do away with your sin, He did away with the thing that accused you of sin. And if there's nothing to accuse you of sin, then there is no sin. He crucified the law. He nailed it to His cross. There ain't nothing to accuse you anymore. It's over. you have to understand and grasp that. We have preached sin so long, the church has dwelt on sin and hell and fire and brimstone. He don't want to talk about sin no more. He wants you to know that you're forgiven of your sins. That when you came to Him, it was all washed away. It's done with. He didn't only do away with your sin, He did away with the thing that accused you of your sin. And God is tired of talking about your sin. He's tired of bringing it up, of you bringing it up to Him. Have you ever noticed when you pray, He never brings up your sin? Now, I shared this with you last time. My kids are good kids. And I'm a pretty good father. But I don't like to talk about my kids' sin. I don't like to talk to them about it. And I sure don't like to talk to anybody else about it. And a lot of times we're talking to God, we're talking about somebody else's sin. And He don't want to talk to us about somebody. He don't want to talk to you about someone else's sins. And He really doesn't want to talk to you about your sins. I want to forget them. I wish they'd never happened. But I wish that way they don't bring them up, and I don't bring them up. And if us being evil know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more does the Father know how to give good gifts? And I'm telling you, He doesn't want to talk about your sins. He wants to talk about good stuff. And I'm going to show you this is so true. He is a great Father. Now, when you're born again, you have to understand that something takes over that is brand new. You're a new creature. You're no longer the same. Something changes in you, and God totally forgets about your past. And you need to, too. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are what? Become new. Now, I like the way the NIV Bible says it. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone. And new has come. And you got to understand that when you come to Jesus, there was a great exchange that took place that you gave your old life is done away with. He's through with it. The sin's done with. And now you got something brand new ahead of you. He crucified the law. He crucified all that stuff. He nailed it to the cross. Now, all this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Why did He do it? He did it to reconcile us to Him. I'm trying to tell you today, there is absolutely nothing between you and God. You don't have to go through Mary. You don't have to go through Joseph. You don't have to go through the pastor. You don't have to go through the priest. There is absolutely nothing between you and God. Nothing. That's the great exchange. He broke down the middle wall of partition. He brought together the Jew and the Gentile. There's no more superior race. We're all the same in Him. We're sons of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You're sitting in the heavenly places, right in the throne with Him. I'm not going to get into that. My wife said there's neither male nor female. That's what's been done. You've got to understand that man, you know, your sin, can I say it this way? It's not important to God because He's done something to take care of it. And all things now are new. And we want to talk about sin. God doesn't want to talk about sin. He wants to talk about your purpose because He loves us. And this is from God so that He could reconcile us to Him. We're this close to Him. I mean, we're in His bosom. Micah 7:9 says, thou wilt cast all their sins, where? Into the depths of the sea. I'm telling you, when you confess it, it's done with. He's cast it into the depths of the sea. And He doesn't want us going fishing there. And we do that. And I've already told you that a good father doesn't keep bringing up their kids' mess-ups. And David knew that. And in Psalms 103 he says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. He has great mercy. And what He's done for us, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. How far is your transgression from you? Now, you can go north and you can go south. And you can get to the point at the north where you've reached the north. And you can get to the point at the south where you can reach the south. But you'll never go east and find west. Because east never stops or west never stops, whichever. It never ends. And I'm telling you the way God has done with our transgressions and with our sins is He's put them where we can't get them. They're just not what He wants to talk about. And then verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And look at verse 13. Like as a father pitieth, the NIV Bible says, has compassion for His children, so the Lord has compassion for them that fear Him. How many of you have compassion for your children? Do you like to keep talking about their mess ups? Now, we got perfect kids. Our kids never mess up, right? But like that is how Father is. He has dealt with sin. He has done with it. And when you come to Him, your past is over. It's done with. Whatever you've done, whatever you have done, there is no sin that His blood cannot take care of. No sin. Now, did He do this in the Old Testament? Did He provide atonement for sin in the Old Testament? Did He? You got to know He did. Blood of bulls and goats and sprinkling of the ashes of a heifer. He did it. In the Old Covenant, He did this. In the Old Covenant, He didn't want to talk about sin. He made provision for sin. He's always done that. What the vision for those people in the wilderness was to get into the Promised Land, was to conquer the enemy, was to bring the kingdom to a land. And what your purpose and my purpose is the same thing, is to get into the land and bring the kingdom of God. He doesn't want a hard hold on to our sin, and He doesn't want it between you and me. He's always made provision for our sin. Now, the second thing I want you to see, the great exchange happened, is not only did He forgive us of our sin, but He gave us a maintenance program. Now, people, understand. Number two, there's a maintenance concerning sin. And 1 John says this, but if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from how much sin? All of it. Listen, I'm wanting you to understand that when you sin now, you have to understand that He wants to forgive you of your sin. And as long as you're walking in Him, as long as you're having a relationship with Him, as long as you're talking and having communion and living a life that's in the light, He's forgiving you of your sin. The key is walking with Him. This exchange took place. Your past is done away with. You're a new creation. And then He gives us a maintenance program to continue in Him. And that whenever that I mess up, whenever I do wrong, then I have this thing. As long as I'm walking with Him, I can confess it and He'll forgive me of it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're lying if we say we've never sinned. How many of you didn't sin this week? Please don't raise your hand. Because if you did, the truth isn't in you. You raised your hand. You see, what we've got to understand is Christians aren't perfect. We just have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So we have this propitiation. We have this thing that we walk in. Christians mess up. Christians sin. But He provided a maintenance program for us. And then if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and then to what? Cleanse us from not only what we've confessed, but all unrighteousness. It's a maintenance program. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His Word is not in us. And then He goes on. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. How many knows that God doesn't want us to sin? And I want you to understand what I'm trying to say today. He doesn't want to talk about your sin, but He doesn't want us sinning. He's not happy with our sin, just because He doesn't want to talk about it. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to defeat it. And this is a walk in the Lord. This is what you do. I don't sin as much now as I used to sin. And as I go with Him and as I walk with Him, I keep overcoming in life. And this is what Christian life is. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, a lot of you and I will say, well, I've done things that He just can't forgive me of. My sins are so great. No. Your sin, His blood is not only sufficient to take care of your sins, but the sins of the whole world. Can you hear that? It says there, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Number one, what happened on that cross. When you come to that cross, when you exchange your life for that life at the cross, there is something that happens in you that you become a new creature. You begin to think differently. You begin to walk differently. And the second thing is there sets up a maintenance program in your life to maintain this forgiveness and walk with Him. And then the third thing that happens in this great exchange, and this is something that we really proclaim here at the church at Lafayette. He came to give you an abundant life. Now, people, it's wonderful to be forgiven of your sins. And it's wonderful to be able to always confess my sins. And to make sure that to have the faith that God's going to continuously forgive me simply if I confess them and walk in Him. But, you know, I want to have a good life. You know, I want to be rich. I want to be healthy. I want to have a good wife, good kids. I want a good life. I want a full life. And not only, you see, this is where so many messages end, is they end at the forgiveness of sin. And then the ability to continue in the forgiveness of sin. But that's only a part of what happened on the cross between the time they crucified Him and the time He raised, as He said. He says, I come to give you life, and that what? Look at this. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Might have it more abundantly. And then the NIV Bible says there, and I want you to see this next, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have it to the full. How many of you like your tank and your automobile to be full rather than empty? Right? Don't you? You're not worried about it. You're not thinking about running out of gas as long as you know your tank's full. How many knows that a full belly is better than an empty belly? Right? And a full bank account is better than an empty bank account. And God, He came to give us an abundant life, or that which is full. I mean, knows a good wife's better than a bad wife. A good husband's better than a bad husband. Your mama's want you. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that Now, we haven't had that before. That's a new one. Somebody catch Megan. Give her to her mother. A full life is better than an empty life. Now, you've got to understand that the word of the Lord is that He wants to give us life, and that to the full. He's not only forgiven us of our sins, He not only sets up the maintenance program. Listen to me. I don't want you to miss this point. But He also wants us to understand we have life to the full. The third thing that happened on the cross is He provided. What do you need for a full life? What do you need, Diane? What do you need, Jason? What do you need, Jim? What makes life full for you? Whatever that you need, I promise you, it is provided for you on this cross that I'm talking about. And then the final thing, the last thing I want to talk about, the great exchange that took place. Already up here, is there's absolute healing. Now, this can go on. This is endless. There's absolute healing. How many of you really believe that the blood of Jesus Christ can deal with your sins? Is that right? Can the blood of Jesus Christ totally and absolutely forgive you of your sins? Do you have faith to believe that? Do you have faith to believe if you confess your sins, then He'll forgive you of your sins? Okay. But how many of us have absolute faith that He can heal us? Absolute and total faith. See, in the same verse that Peter records that He's able to forgive you of your sins, He also records that He's able to heal your bodies. The same cross, the same provision that was given to forgive you of your sins 2,000 years ago was also provided to heal your body. He heals us of how many of our of our diseases. All our diseases. Now listen, a lot of churches will preach the forgiveness of sin. But they stop with the abundant, they don't preach the abundant life. I'm telling you, God wants you to be rich. He wants you to be rich more than you want to be rich. He wants you to have an abundant life. But not only that, He wants you to be totally and absolutely healed, spirit, soul, and body. He's interested in all of you. And the same cross, the same blood, the same provision that was given for your forgiveness of your sins was also given to heal you. And Peter says here, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you will one day be. You were healed. You were healed. I want you to understand, if you're sick, you were healed 2,000 years ago. All you've got to learn how to do is enter into that promise. Just as you learned how to enter into the forgiveness of God, the absolute faith that He'll forgive you of your sins, just as you learned how to do that, learn how to enter into this absolute healing of your body. It's all provided. Just as you have absolute faith that He'll forgive you of your sins, learn how to enter into the abundant life where He makes you rich. Did He give us power to make wealth? It's already done. What we've got to do is learn how to get into it. And we preach salvation, salvation, salvation. What we've got to preach is abundant life. What we've got to preach is absolute healing. Whose stripes you were healed. The NIV Bible says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree so that you might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. Now, this great exchange, it just keeps on going. I mean, and I may minister again from it sometime, but I want you to understand that at this cross where they crucified Him, and from the time that He was risen, as He said, that so much was exchanged. How many of you know you can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, what does it profit you? You have exchanged a right mind, a right way of thinking, for the ways of the world. That happened at the cross. You have exchanged poverty for wealth. Now, either this is right, if this verse of Scripture is true, or either John 3:16 isn't true either. In 2 Corinthians 8:9 it says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be what? Might be rich." He wants you to be rich. You exchange that spirit of the world for the spirit of truth. He said, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, you can receive it. You can know truth. What I want us to see today is there was a tremendous exchange that happened. And all we've got to do is learn how to enter into it. We've got to become new creations. We've got to walk with Him and be in the light as He's in the light. We've got to allow Him to minister to us. We've got to come into the place where we totally and absolutely believe that He can. And some of us need to start with number one and have that great exchange. We need to become that new creation. We need to come back to Him again. We need to come to that place where we know that He is Lord and that He is our Savior. And that we can, old things pass away. And we've got to stop reminding each other of our sins. He gives us a love that passes knowledge. How many of you know the love when God truly dwells in a man's heart, that He loves you so much that though He knows your biggest fault, He can still love you? Because He gives us a love that passes knowledge. If the Spirit of Christ truly dwells in us, you can know my absolute worst thing I've ever done and still love me. You ought to be able to know that you can continue in this forgiveness and keep walking with God. Don't keep talking about your sin. He doesn't want to talk about it. You need to know. You need to know that there was a tremendous exchange, that He gives you an abundant life. Me and Judy was talking. I've written another book, and it's on giving. It's on tithes, offering, and alms. And we were talking this morning about how blessed we are because we've continued walking. Folks, I'm telling you, we have an abundant life. We're not poor. We're not as rich as we want to be. But we're not poor. He's brought us a long way. He's forgiven us of our sins, gave us a great family. Everything we want is provided for. I have an abundant life. And He's not done with me yet. I want to be a millionaire, Jason. I really do. And I believe He wants me to be a millionaire more than I want to be a millionaire, because He'll know I'll give it into the kingdom to establish His covenant. And I totally believe He'll heal us. So there's some of you here today that need to know Him as your Savior. That the old has passed away and that you can have an abundant life. Some of you need to know that you have maybe come to Him, but you need to know that He's forgiven you of your sin and you can't let that be between you and Him. He's reconciled you. Some of you need to know that He wants you to have an abundant life, and some of you need healing in your body. So let's bow our heads. Father, You brought us here on this beautiful, beautiful day. Now You're about to release us and let us just go enjoy Your creation. We've experienced jubilation. We've experienced joy and happiness and rejoicing. We've experienced Your blood and Your body. We've experienced the body. We've experienced Your Word. Now, Lord, we're about to leave our worship experience. And Father, I ask You now to minister to our hearts what You've spoken to us. How many here do not know, keep your heads bound, do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You've never become that new creation. You're still living in a past life, a life that only beats you up and devastates you and just keeps you all beat up all the time. There's no joy in your life. There's no happiness in your life. You need to know Him as your Savior. You need to become this new creation. It can happen right now, just like that. You can change it all. If that's you today, would you slip your hand up? I want to pray with you. Would you slip your hand up? Anyone? Anyone? Okay. Others of you have come to Him. And you've known Him in the past. But you've allowed something to get in there. You've allowed some sin that someone else did. You've allowed some sin that you have done. You've allowed something to come in that you have not allowed the blood of Jesus to apply to. And it's keeping you from Him. It's keeping you away from Him. You're not reconciled to Him. And you want to fix that today. I want to pray with you. Would you slip your hand down? That's you today. I see one. Any others? Put your hand down. Put it down. See it. Thank you. Any others? Any others? Now the altar call that I'm going to keep your heads about, the altar I'm about to give, no one will know why you're coming. So please don't think that I'm going to embarrass you. I'm not. Because for this next one, there's going to be a lot that's going to come. The next two. Some of you need an abundant life. You've just not had the faith to enter in that God really does want to bless you. How many would say, yeah, boy, that's me. I could really use more abundance in my life. Would you slip your hands up? Okay, I see those everywhere. And then finally, you're sick in your body. I'm here to tell you that just as sure as He can forgive you of your sin, He can heal your body. And I want you to come down and be prayed for. How many of you need some sort of healing? I don't care if you got a headache. I don't care if you got cancer. He can fix it. How many of you today would slip your hand up and say, I need healing in my body and I want the blood applied to me today? Would you slip your hand up? Hands everywhere. Okay. If you've raised your hand or if you haven't raised your hand, would you come on down now?